From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air Wednesday morning, there's a lot happening in Illinois today. Right now, in Springfield, members of the House Republican Caucus are calling for the repeal of changes to criminal law put in place last year. Those changes were part of the General Assembly's response to widespread and rising calls for racial justice in recent years. Meanwhile, in Chicago this afternoon, Governor J.B. Pritzker is expected to announce that Illinois' pandemic mask requirement will be phased out in most settings, not, however, schools and congregate places. And more broadly in state government, the real work of the legislative session is about to begin in earnest, following last week's budget address and the return to in-person lawmaking, following a month of delays and online committee hearings related to the Omicron wave and last week's winter snowstorm. Joining us to talk about all this and more is the chairwoman of the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus, State Representative Sonia Harper. She's a Democrat from Chicago. Her district stretches from the Loop down to the Englewood neighborhood on the south side. Representative Harper, welcome to the 21st show.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Listeners, you're welcome to join our conversation as ever, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, or tweet us at 21st show, at 21st show. So, Representative Harper, as I mentioned, members of the House Republican Caucus right now are scheduled to hold a news conference demanding repeal of what was called the Safety Act, the big package, as you know, of criminal justice changes that followed the police killings of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and the whole reckoning that happened in 2020. Is the Black Caucus open to repealing the Safety Act?
No, the Black Caucus is not open to repealing the Safety Act. And I just want to right now lift up my co-chair, Senator Robert Peters, and Representative Cam Buckner for their hard work with the caucus this year. And also my criminal justice co-chair, Senator L.G. Sims and Representative Justin Slaughter, as well as Peters, who worked so hard along with advocates all across the state to get this Safety Act. I want to just back up a minute first just to give a little bit of introduction about the caucus before we go back into the Safety Act to even explain why we're not for repealing the Safety Act.
Sure.
Well, first of all, we're celebrating our 55th anniversary as a caucus. We were established in 1967, which makes us older than the Congressional Black Caucus. There was a time when Black Caucus members were not welcome to stay in certain establishments down in Springfield, lodging or restaurants. But my, how we've come a long way. But being that this is Black History Month, I'd like to pay homage to those who have come before us, because the work that we do today wouldn't be possible, right, without the foundation that they laid for us. Many of the issues that we are finally able to pass into law, including many of the provisions of the Safety Act, Black Caucus members have been working on for decades. So I just wanted to pause to honor them. Also state the Black Caucus, we currently have 34 members. We are the third largest Black caucus in the United States, and we have produced the first Black mayor of Chicago, the first Black U.S. senator, the first Black woman to be lieutenant governor, the first Black speaker of the Illinois House, the first Black Senate president, and of course, we all know we produced the first Black U.S. president. So
I wondered if you were going to leave President Obama out of your list. Okay.
Yeah, no, of course. Black president. So we have some rich history. So I want to thank you again for taking time to speak with me today on behalf of the caucus.
Sure, sure. Fair enough. So, but with the issues that are in the news today, even there was a case out of Chicago. I'm sure you saw this yesterday. It made news where a man who allegedly started a gunfight that led to an innocent bystander, a woman who was just going to, I think she was going to buy lottery tickets, was killed. He did not shoot her, but he did apparently, or allegedly, I should say, instigate the gunfight. He's not going to face murder charges under the revised felony murder statute. Our listeners know we just had an in-depth conversation on this very topic yesterday, on the topic of felony murder, not this particular case. But I wonder that, you know, that is something that we are seeing Republicans, not only in the legislature, but candidates for governor making a big issue about. Do you expect pressure to inch back on some of the changes that were put in the Safety Act?
Of course. There was pressure all throughout just trying to get the Safety Act together. We also realized that, you know, the Safety Act is part of continuing efforts to reduce crime, right? And we realize that this will be an ongoing conversation with law enforcement and with stakeholders to collaboratively build on reform. And you know, related to the case here, one of the things that the Safety Act did was it did empower the courts, you know, to set smarter sentences and otherwise on a case-by-case basis rather than relying on the mandatory statutory sentences.
The message that's coming out of the other side, though, and I think this is going to be drummed heavily this year, being a campaign year, and so much money is going to be spent on ads in the election. I mean, people are calling it, Republicans in particular, including Aurora Mayor Richard Irvin, are calling it a pro-criminal law. Can you respond to that line of attack?
Yeah, no, I of course I agree. Disagree with it being called a pro-criminal law. I think that's a new term folks are trying to make up just for messaging. But what we're trying to do here is basically build a justice system that works for everyone, right? And what we did here was try to put in reforms that target the inequities in the system, specifically mass incarceration and the over-criminalization of people of color. So this package reformed the elements that contribute to so many different experiences, such as reforming cash bail, creating alternatives to incarceration, eliminating chokeholds, and so much more. So no, I would not say that it is a pro-criminal bill. I think it is a bill that definitely has lent itself to comprehensive, robust action between state and local officials, and is also one that it will be informed by community input. Most importantly, what we really need to be doing here, and I believe our Safety Act, as well as our newly reimagined public safety plan, really helps us own in on addressing some of those root causes to violence, which is really where we need to be spending, I think, a lot of attention as well.
No, absolutely. I guess I'm particularly interested in your view on this because your district, as I mentioned at the beginning, includes the Englewood neighborhood, which is people there have paid a terrible price from not only crime and violence, but also arguably mass incarceration and the excesses of criminal law in Illinois. What do you hear from your constituents? I mean, the people who are saying that this law is pro-criminal, they say they're standing up for the people in neighborhoods like that where there is a lot of violence and that, you know, they are pushing laws that will better protect people in those areas. What do you hear from your constituents on that?
Well, first of all, it's funny that you're saying that people are standing up for people in those areas and they don't live in those areas. And I think that myself, again, I live in an Englewood community. I've grown up losing many different friends to gun violence, and even as an adult, still losing friends to gun violence. What we need, again, is to address our root causes. We also need to address, and we have in the Safety Act, the relationship between police and community members so that there is more trust there. The Reimagined Public Safety Plan has committed over $250 million over the next 3 years to do this data-driven and community-based violence prevention initiative. That is what my residents are asking for. And in addition to that, trauma recovery services, youth development programs, and the biggest thing of all, jobs, economic development. When people have, when there's economic recovery, when you have communities that work, when you have communities that are stocked with grocery stores, when you have communities that have adequate school funding, you don't get communities that shoot. End of story. And so again, we're looking at this as the Safety Act and our Reimagined Public Safety Plan. It covers a whole facet of different things. And again, we still have a lot more work to do.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with State Representative Sonia Harper, who is the chair of the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus. She's a Democrat from Chicago. 800-222-9455 is the number to call. I want to ask you about another thing that's in the news or will be in the news today, which is Governor Pritzker is expected to call for phasing out the mask mandate in Illinois. There's been a lot of chaos among school districts in the last week or so after a judge in central Illinois said that the schools put a temporary restraining order on enforcement of the mask mandate in schools. Do you support the governor's move to phase out the mask mandate, which I guess I should mention, apparently he hasn't announced it yet, but it's not going to apply to schools. They will still have masks required. But, you know, that's working its way through the courts. That's a lot of question. What do you think of the change the governor is expected to announce today?
No, I definitely support, you know, the governor's changes. You know, the COVID-19 pandemic is still very much with us, and our families are still struggling with the crisis, be it medically, financially, or even both. So basically, as a state, we need to continue to advocate for our free vaccinations, for our testing, and for our contact tracing, which I think he highlighted in his budget address. But especially from our point of view, we just want to continue to prioritize this, getting everyone vaccinated and putting this pandemic behind us. As stated, we need our kids in school with the confidence that they, their teachers, and school workers will be safe. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing more, you know, about the restrictions being lifted over COVID, you know, as we all continue to heal and rebound.
What sorts of things, and it sounds like from your comments you do support vaccination. We have seen, though, among the various subgroups that have been resistant, Republicans are one, but members of the Black community are another. And obviously there's a long history of racism in the medical field that maybe sows a lot of suspicion there. What is the Black caucus doing in terms of trying to encourage vaccination?
Sure, yes. So we have many members in all of their various districts consistently giving out masks and holding vaccination clinics and probably even still doing testing. I think that, as always, when we're talking about Black communities who have heightened needs, access is important and outreach is important, right? And so we need to continue to increase the amount of engagement opportunities that people have to get vaccinated, figure out how we bring these vaccinations to them. You know, I've heard some comments that, you know, at first folks were testing and vaccinating and going to beauty shops and barber shops and going to where people are, and maybe some of that has fallen off. And so I definitely be looking toward my members and towards the state to ramp up on those efforts as we continue to make sure that everyone is vaccinated and stays healthy during the season.
Do you feel like the state, Governor Pritzker, Dr. Ezekiel's Department of Public Health have done enough outreach in the Black community, in your district in particular, for example?
You know, I get on a regular basis, I get updates from the governor's office of them doing vaccination clinics in my district. I always think that there could be more, but I want to say I do think that they're doing a wonderful job with the outreach that they're doing right now. And even keeping representatives informed when they're going into different districts so that we may help to continue to spread the word. So, yes, we've been good at doing it, but we need to do it a whole lot more given the extra special need in our communities.
We're almost out of time in our conversation. I do want to ask you about the political landscape in Illinois this year. The only really well-funded Black candidate in the race for governor is a Republican. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, he's one of those people who's coming out hard against the Safety Act, which he called just this morning Pritzker's pro-criminal law. That's a quote. I wonder, as chairwoman of the Black caucus, what do you make of his candidacy, Mayor Richard Irvin of Aurora?
You know, I believe that everyone has a right to run for office. They think that they've got the best plan. As it relates to, you know, coming against the work that the Black Caucus has done, of course, I don't agree with that.
I mean, but he's really campaigning hard against one of the caucus's signature pieces of legislation from last year. Does that feel like a...
I
don't want to put words in your
mouth. Fruit. I think it's a low-hanging fruit for the Republican Party. And I think that if he wants to win and he's running with the Republican Party, that's the number one thing, you know, that he can message out, because, you know, that's what they're hot about right now. That's been a hot-button issue since we've been trying to pass this criminal justice reform. You know, it was no secret that would be one of the things that Republicans would come up against during this campaign. And so, again, with that, we're not surprised. But again, the Black Caucus, we know where we sit, we know where we stand, and we're with Democrats. And so if there is a person out there who chooses to go against our pillar, then we will just push right back.
Last thing I want to ask you about, we touched on this briefly earlier, but in terms of the pandemic and schools, there have been people who say that teachers unions, especially in Chicago. The Chicago Teachers Union is working against the interests of students and parents, especially from areas where there's lower income. Students have faced a lot of learning loss in the last couple of years. Where do you come down on kids in schools and safety?
Yeah, my personal opinion is that we need to figure out what is the safest way to keep our children educated, to lessen this learning gap that many of them have been experiencing over the past couple of years. I have a 12-year-old daughter myself, and I've noticed the lag and the impact that it's had on her learning. So I could just imagine the impact that this is having on children all across the state, because I'm experiencing it in my own household. And so I think that everyone is speaking up for the students, that we just need to come, to resolve that in an amicable way that keeps people safe, that both keeps people safe, but also continues their education. So I really hope that we can come to a resolution soon on that, because as we know, our kids stand to lose the most.
Yeah. Representative Sonia Harper. Representative Harper, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today on the 21st.
Thank you so much, Brian. You have a wonderful day.
Thanks. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.